Normally this shiur is held on Rosh Chodesh, so today it's on the 6th of the month. We find ourselves now in the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, the days in which the Gemara says, the Pasuk in Yeshaya, which we read on the fast day, Dirshu Hashem Behi Matzoi Kira'uhu Behi Yosei Korov. This is a time when we are closer, Kaviyachol, to Hashem than any other time during the year. As we know, as the Pasuk says, Avonai Seichem Mavdilim, our sins is what causes that there be a separation, a distance between us and Hashem. And when we rectify, when we do tshuva, so that Masach HaMavdil, that separation, that partition that separates us from Kirvas Hashem is removed, and we are closer to Hashem. Kra'uhu b'hiyosei korov, which obviously means that Yom HaKippurim, which is this coming Shabbos, we are the closest to Hashem, because we have all our averus forgiven. As the Pasuk says, we'll be reading it this Yom Kippur, Ki b'ayoyim hazeh yechaper aleichem l'tahir eschem mikol chatoiseichem lefnei Hashem titoru. So there's a lot to talk about when we talk about the month of Tishrei and the limited time that we have. Certainly on the agenda is Yom HaKippurim, followed by Sukkot. And some overview a little on the month of Tishrei in general. The month is called Minhag Yisrael, is to call it Tishrei. The word Tishrei is not found in Tanakh. In fact, in Tanakh it is referred to either in Chumash as the Chodesh HaShavi'i, as we just saw on Rosh Hashanah, B'Chodesh HaShavi'i, Be'echod LaChodesh, or Be'osor LaChodesh HaShavi'i Hazeh, which is Yom HaKippurim, or Sukkot, B'Chamisha Aseh Yom LaChodesh HaShavi'i. So in Chumash clearly it's referred to as the seventh month, being the seventh month from Nisan, which is the Rishon Hulachem L'Chodshei Hashanah, so Tishrei is the seventh month. In Melachim, it's referred to as the Yerach Ho'esonim, the month of the powerful. Gemara, in fact, in Rosh Hashanah asks, why is it called the month of the powerful? Eson means powerful. As it says by Yosef HaTzadik, Vateshev Be'eson Kashtoi, or in Parashas Balak, when it talks about the Keni, Eson Moshevecha, Eson, Eitan, Eson means strong, like a solid rock. So in Navi, it's referred to as the Yerach HaEsonim. The Gemara says for two reasons. One, because it is strong in its mitzvahs. There are more mitzvahs in this month than there are in any other month. You have Shofar, you have Tshuva, you have Sukkot, you have Lulav and Esrog, Simcha, Nisach HaMayim, when there was the Beis HaMikdash, and so on. And another reason, as the Gemara says, is because Shaboy Noildu Eisonei Oilam. It's the month in which the strong, the Avos HaKadoshim that are referred to as the Eisonei Eretz, the patriarchs of the Jewish people, were born. The obvious question is that Yitzchak was born in Nisan. That's a discussion in and to itself. But the Gemara brings these two reasons as why it's referred to as the Yerach HaEsonim. So why do we call it Tishrei for? What is the word Tishrei really mean? The parashiyos that we read in every single Tishrei are Hazinu. Hazinu is always read in Tishrei. V'zois HaBracha, even though we don't read it on Shabbos, the only parasha never read on a Shabbos, so we always read Simchas Torah, which the Chutz La'aretz cannot be on Shabbos. In Eretz Yisrael could be read on Shabbos, the Shmini Atzeres is Shabbos, but cannot fall out on Shabbos here. But the reading of Hazayis HaBracha, the mitzvah of Shnai Mikra Ve'echad Targum, and all that is done in the month of Tishrei. And Bereshis. Bereshis, of course, is always read in the month of Tishrei as Tishrei comes to a close. In fact, the Tikkunei Zohar, it's known that there's a minhag Yisrael to learn the Tikkunei Zohar in Chodesh Elul up until Yom HaKippurim, even if you don't know what you're talking about. It doesn't matter. Just to say it has an effect. There are 70 tikkunim, tikkunei Zohar, which is actually the introduction to the Zohar. There are 70 tikkunim, all based on the first word of Bereshis. Many, many Ramazim, including the very famous Remez, which everyone knows from the Baal HaTurim, but it precedes the Baal HaTurim, is that Bereshis is the letters Aleph B'Tishrei, which is the first day of Tishrei, which is Rosh Hashanah, Aleph B'Tishrei, is where it all started, hinted in the first word of Bereshis. Bereshis is Bris Eish, Bereshis is Yorei Shabbos, Bereshis is Rosh Bayis. Many, many different combinations of words are hinted in the word Bereshis that I discussed in the 70 Tikkunim of Tikkuni Zohar. So Bereshis is always read in Tishrei, not now, but it's always read at the conclusion of the holidays, right? Mm-hmm. This year, in fact, we go straight from Simchas Torah into Shabbos Bereshis. It's difficult to be able to be Ma'aviv Sedra. Halachically, you can't be Ma'aviv Sedra for Bereshis until Friday, basically, afternoon, unless you finish your Hakafis in the morning, because it's not yet Bereshis. It's not called Imat Sibur, and Bereshis is not a small parasha either. 148 Psukim. So Bereshis is always read in Tishrei. Vayelech is sometimes read in Tishrei, depending whether Nitzav and Vayelech are together or not. If Nitzav and Vayelech are together, like this year, most years, then it's read in Elul. But there are many years when Vayelech is read in Chodesh Tishrei, when Rosh Hashanah falls out either Monday or Tuesday, then you have Vayelech also read in Tishrei. So these are the parashas that I read in Tishrei. Sometimes Vayelech, always Hazinu, Zayis HaBracha, or Bracha, as many refer to it in Bereshis. Therefore, as mentioned many times, whatever is read in a given month is related to that month. And the fact that we read these parashiyos and only in the month of Tishrei, so clearly these parashiyos are related to Tishrei. What we find interesting too is that in these parashiyos we learn about Yehoshua ben Nun. We already were introduced to Yehoshua ben Nun earlier, but here the Torah extensively, one week after the other, speaks either about Hoshea ben Nun, Yehoshua ben Nun, in Vayelech, again in Hazinu, and of course at the end of the parasha of Vezos HaBracha, where Yehoshua ben Nun, the Torah describes him as Yehoshua ben Nun, Molei Ruach Chachma, Kisamach Moshe Es Yadav Olav, he takes over after Moshe Rabbeinu. Why are we learning about Yehoshua ben Nun in the month of Tishrei over and over again? Also must be for a reason. Everything is for a reason. No coincidence, certainly no coincidence in the Torah. And as mentioned during these shiurim, every month corresponds to another shevet. The Arizal tells us that Tishrei is Ephraim, which would mean that Tishrei is connected to Yosef HaTzadik. It's interesting, too, because today, Tuesday, of the week of Yom Kippur, but it's the week of Parshas Vezos HaBrach. If someone asks you what Parshas is this week, you don't say it's Parshas Yom Kippur. It's not Parshas Acharei Mos, although the laning is Acharei Mos this week, because that's the laning that has to do with Yom Kippur. But the parasha of the week is Bracha, Vizos HaBracha, which you're supposed to learn this week, even next week. So today is Tuesday, and those who have the minhag, and that's how it should be, to learn every day that portion of the Chumash. There are seven portions in every parasha, corresponding to the 7 days of the week. Today is Tuesday, you're supposed to learn from Shlishi to Revi, a parasha's Vizos HaBracha, and there the Torah talks about Yosef, L'Yosef Omar, Mivayreches Hashem Arzo. The Pasuk says about Yosef, blessed by Hashem is his land. Well, isn't the entire Eretz Yisrael blessed? Is there any part of Eretz Yisrael that is not blessed? Why, only Yosef's portion? Tells us Rashi, there was no other portion of land as blessed as the land of Yosef. That's what Rashi says. And the Torah actually repeats 5 times the same word here, Meged. You just heard the laning yesterday, because even when you learn, you learn Monday and Thursday and the Shabbos prior, and next Monday, you're going to be laying till Shlishi of Vezos HaBracha. So everyone knows, Mi Meged, over and over again. And Meged means sweet. Rashi says, Loshen Adinus Umesikus Adonim Umesek, that the portion of land of Yosef had a heavenly bounty of dew, and deep waters crouching below, bounty of the sun's crops, the bounty of the moon's yield, the quick ripening crops, bounty of the land and its fullness. So something special about the land of Yosef that you don't find about all the other Shvatim, that Eretz, the land of Yosef is more blessed than the land of any other Shevet in Eretz Yisrael. And not only that, but the Torah describes Yosef here as Nazir Echav. Nazir Echav means the one who was separated from his brothers, literally meaning at the time of the sale, he was separated from his brothers. Also, according to some of Farshim, Yosef was a Nazir, as the Torah refers to a Nazir, someone who grows his hair long and separates from wine. And also that Yosef was on a much higher level than the rest of the brothers. He's considered a roeh. He was considered a shepherd. He's not even on the same level as the Shvatim. You see, his shevet splits into two, Ephraim and Manasseh. Yosef seems to have the same status as the Avos. You find that Yosef is one of the Ushpizin, one of the guests who come to the Sukkah in the month of Tishrei. It's Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef, David. None of the other Shvatim are privileged to be guests in the Sukkah as Yosef. So certainly Yosef is unique and superior than the rest of the Shvatim. And his month, therefore, according to the Arizal, is Tishrei. Tishrei and Cheshvan, actually. But Tishrei, which is Ephraim. Ephraim is not the oldest of Yosef, but we know that Ephraim is designated to be the Bechor, just as Yosef sort of is designated to be the Bechor. Reuven is supposed to be the Bechor. It was given to Yosef, as the Pasuk says in Divrei HaYomim. And Yosef, on the same way, gives Yaakov, actually, is the one who tells Yosef that just like the Bechor was taken away from Esav and given to you, we're taking away the Bechor from Menashe and we're giving it to Ephraim, and that's what we're giving you. And according to the Arizal, Tishrei is Ephraim. So what does Tishrei have to do with Ephraim? And according to the Yaris Vash, it's interesting, the Yaris Vash, if you understand, Eichitz writes that Tishrei is Reuven. And he says simply, because Reuven is the oldest, Tishrei is in many ways the first month, Tishrei Osius Reishis. But more than that, he says, Reuven was the first who truly repents. The first one to really do tshuva. The Medrash says, concerning Reuven, that's why he receives the first portion of land in the Eiver HaYarden, his Betzah Bamidbar, and in his portion there's Ir Miklat, for those who kill inadvertently to go there in exile. Because Reuven is the first who was posach b'tshuva, and from him descends the Navi Hosea, who is the Navi of tshuva, as we just read this previous Shabbos, Shuva Yisrael Ad Hashem Elokecha. Who says that? Hosea, who's a descendant of Reuven. Reuven is the first to do tshuva, so Tishrei is the month of tshuva, Yom HaKippurim. That's how the Aris Tavash learned. Of course, the obvious question is, was he the first to do tshuva? Weren't there those who did tshuva before him? Adam HaRishon did tshuva before him. On Rosh Hashanah, in fact, because it was on Rosh Hashanah that the Chet Eitz Hadas took place, the day of the creation of Adam, and it was the same day that Adam repents. Later you have Cain, the first murderer in history. He also does tshuva. Not like Reuven, though. Because their tshuva not counted, because they did tshuva because Hashem appeared to them. So of course they did tshuva. Hashem says to Adam HaRishon, Ayeka Hamin Ha'etz Asher Tzivisicha Levilti Acholim Enu Acholta. Anyone who gets a call from God himself is going to do tshuva. And Kayin, Hashem says, Ey Achicha Hevel, where's your brother Hevel? What's he? He's not going to do tshuva. Reuven did tshuva on his own without any revelation. So Reuven is the first true Baal tshuva, says the Aris Tvash, therefore Reuven corresponds to Tishrei, the month of tshuva. But according to the Arizal, it's Ephraim. So, before we go into this, we'll try to make of all of these topics as much as we can discuss, but also spend time on the Ikir, on the main focus, Aseres Yomei Tshuva, the week of Yom HaKippurim, and the concept of tshuva. What exactly does tshuva accomplish? So tshuva, which the world translates it as repentance, is not really what it means. Tshuva means return. The world was created already in such a way that tshuva should help. Right at the beginning of Bereshis, right after Sheni, in fact, the pasuk says, "Ela told us Hashanayim v'ha'oretz behi boram." These are the products of the heaven and the earth when they were created. Now, the word behi boram is written with a small hey. Behi boram. So the Gemara in Menachos Chavtes Amid Beis, the Gemara there quotes the pasuk we say every day in davening, "Bitchu b'Hashem adei ad ki beko Hashem sur olamim," that the world was created with two letters. This world with the hey, and the next world olam haba with the yud. And the Gemara explains there why. The Gemara discusses the letter He. The letter He is open on bottom so that those who sin fall into Gehenna. But there's an opening on the side, on the left side. The Gemara there asks, why is the leg suspended? It's not connected to the top, like a ches, so that those who sin can come back in again. The Gemara asks, why don't they just come back in the same place? The Gemara talks about it over there. But this is like another opening. Hashem is constantly giving us opportunities to do tshuva, as the Gemara calls it, a chatira, even by Menashe. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin that Menashe was also given a chance to do tshuva. He did tshuva for 33 years. As the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, The Gemara uses the word over there, chatira, chotar chatira. It's like a tunnel, another entranceway, another way to get in. So the hay that the world was created with has another opening for the sinners to be able to come crawling back in again and to be able to be received by Hashem. So right at the beginning of creation, the ability to do tshuva, bihi bara. Now the Yalkut on this pasuk, the Yalkut tells us that this really is supposed to be the first pasuk of Chumash. Eila told us Hashemayim the Haaretz bihi baram, which incidentally the word hibaram is the same letter as Avraham, and Avraham also before he is Avraham, his name is Avram. Bocharta be'Avram v'otzeisimei or kastem v'samta shmo Avraham. He is given another letter to his name, and that letter is added to his name, which is also the letter He. He becomes the first Jew. The letter He is added to his name. He's now Avraham. And we can in many ways say that the creation of the world begins with him. Because before that, it's Tohu. Before that, it's the 2,000 years of void, of emptiness. So the Yalkut says this should have been the first pasuk of Bereishis, but Ein Muktam Umeuchar Batorah. This is a very famous phrase, which we'll discuss in a moment, which has to do with tshuva. And it seems that this is the first time that it's ever used in Chazal, although we'll see soon that Rashi already brought it at the beginning of Bereishis, that there is no order in Torah. Strange, no order. When you read a history book, of course, it's written in order. Otherwise, how can it be called a history book? You're not going to start learning about what happened in the 20th century before you learn about what happened in the 15th century. So if you're studying history, especially if you're studying from the beginning, you're going to go straight. And part of being a historian is knowing exactly when everything happened. If you don't know the order and you don't know the chronological events, obviously you're missing out in history. But in the Torah, we see clearly that it's not like that, because there are many psukim and topics that are written totally out of order. And this one is written out of order. It should have been at the beginning, and it's here. So what's the idea behind that? Now, at the beginning of Bereishis, which we should be starting to learn soon, so Rashi discusses over here, the famous Rashi, at the beginning of creation, Bereishis bara Elokim es ha-shamayim v'es ha-oretz. We know we find ourselves now in the 10 days of tshuva, says the Chiddush HaRim, that the 10 days of tshuva correspond to the 10 utterances that Hashem created the world, the Asara Ma'amoros, which correspond to the Aseres HaDibros, which correspond to the Yesekochus HaNefesh. So Rashi discusses here that the order that the Torah tells us here is not the right order. Hashem did not create heaven and earth first. Pasuk says so. Rashi says no, it's not. Rashi's not making it up. He takes it from the Midrashim. So Rashi says, look, the Pasuk says, V'ruach Elokim ra'chefes al penei hamoyim. That means there was water there. The Spirit of Hashem hovers over the water. What? The Torah doesn't say anything about the creation of water. V'od, sha'ashamayim me'esh umayim nivru, he brings in the Gemara in the Chagiga, Yudbeis, that shamayim is a concoction, it's two words, it's fire and water. So shamayim was fire and water. So before there was shamayim, there had to be the creation of fire, and then there was the creation of water. There was nothing here before the world was created. It's not like as if the fire and the water were here before. Then Hashem, when he created the world, decided to take the fire and the water and put it together and make the heavens. Before the world was created, 5774 years ago, there was absolute, not even zero. You can't even use the word zero because zero is an integer. Nothing. Nothing. So water is also a creation. Fire is also a creation. When were they created? The Torah does not say. And for sure, Rashi says, water had to be here before the earth was. Al-Karchach, this is how Rashi ends off, Loi limeid hamikra b'seder hamukdamim v'hameucharim klum. The Torah is not teaching us about the order of creation. What was first and what came last and what came second and third. There is no order here. Very strange to say that at the beginning of Chumash. Well, we're starting with the beginning. Bereishis bara Elokim. Hashem created first. Shamayim, Oretz, says Rashi. That's not the order. The Torah is not coming to tell you the order of things here. So the question is, how does tshuva help? How can one expect to rectify, in fact, the Gemara in Yuma that we all know, the Gemara in Yuma Daf Pei Vav says that tshuva is so powerful that it has the ability to transform the shgogos, the zdonos rather, to shgogos, averis that were done intentionally are considered that they were done inadvertently. And then at shgogos becomes zechuyos, depending on what kind of tshuva you do. If you do a tshuva miyira, if you do a tshuva out of fear, you have no averis anymore. You don't have mitzvahs, but you don't have any averis anymore. You do tshuva out of love, all the averis become mitzvahs. Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Baditshevitz, known, said on the famous Medrash, Ulakachtam Lachem Bayom Harishon, Pri Eitz Hod, the first day of Sukkot is referred to as the Yom Harishon. The Medrash asks, why is it called Yom Harishon? It should be the 15th day of Tishrei. Why is it called the first day? Rishon Lecheshbon Avonos. It's the first day that you have Averis. What kind of Medrash is this? What does this Medrash mean? Literally, it means this is the first opportunity to sin, because during the Aseres you made Tshuva, and hopefully the whole month of Elul we're busy doing Tshuva, so who's doing Averis? Between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, everyone's busy buying the lulav and esrog and building the sukkah. There's no time to do averus. First day of Sukkot, first opportunity, Rishon v'cheshbon avonos. But the Levi Yitzchak Baditshava Kedarko Bakodesh didn't translate the Medrash that way. He said, no, it's the first day that all the averus you did become mitzvahs, because Sukkot is tshuva me'ahava. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is tshuva me'yira. Yomim no'royim, we refer to it. It's a time that we're in a state of pachad. Sukkot, we are in a state of simcha, of ahava. Sukkot is also tshuva. It's also a time of tshuva. Tshuva out of love, if we do it properly, beginning with the first day of Sukkot, it's Rishon Lecheshbon Avonos. All the averus are now mitzvahs. So not only are we pure, not only are all our sins forgiven for, but also all the sins become mitzvahs. So what does that mean exactly? You can understand perhaps someone who transgressed, someone who violates, someone who did an Avera, did Tshuva, the Avera is no longer considered an Avera, and if he did Tshuva me'ahava, it's considered a mitzvah. What about someone who didn't do a mitzvah? Someone did not put on tefillin one day, Rachmana Litzlan. Someone didn't hear shofar on Rosh Hashanah, Rachmana Litzlan. Is it possible to do Tshuva for that? And it's interesting that there are different schools of thought about that. Many say, Hashem will forgive you, but you could never get the tikkun, that rectification, that cleanliness, that avoda of doing a mitzvah. If you didn't do it, so you didn't do it. How could you, if you could do tshuva and say, I'm sorry that I didn't do it, but it can't be considered that you did it. Meaning, an avera that you did is absolved, and it's like as if you never did it. But how could you be considered to have done a mitzvah which you didn't do because you did tshuva? But believe it or not, there are those who say, yes, tshuva can help for that too. It sounds strange. A person does tshuva on Chanukah, let's say, because he didn't shake the lulav on Sukkot. So what are we going to say? That it's like as if he shook the lulav on Chanukah. Shaking the lulav on Chanukah doesn't work anyway. You could shake the lulav on Chanukah all day. You didn't do a mitzvah. So what does it mean exactly? It's interesting. The Divrei Chaim, Reb Chaim of Sanz, says in Parshas Vo'eschana, says it pretty clearly over there, that it does work. Vo'eschanan el Hashem bo'es hahi lemor. And this is what he says, that Moshe Rabbeinu did tshuva for the one avera that he did, and that is that he did not talk to the rock. He hid it, but didn't talk. So he writes there, he talks about tshuva having the power to rectify the past. Vo'eschanan, and I begged Hashem, and I did such tshuva. Bo'es hahi, he says, I reached this level of bo'es hahi, we'll get to it momentarily. What tshuva is, if you reach the level of before the world was created, before time, where time doesn't play a role, where Ovar, Hove, Osir is all the same, that's what tshuva accomplishes, we'll get to it in a moment, that lemor, that it's like as if I did say it, I did talk to the rock. Moshe did such a tshuva that it was considered that he did talk to the rock, even though he didn't. So Divrei Chaim clearly says that tshuva does help, even for someone who was mevatel or mitzvahs asei. Of course you're going to ask me, then why did he go into Eretz Yisrael? That's a good question. It was a gezeira, he couldn't go into Eretz Yisrael. But as far as the tshuva is concerned, it was considered lemor as if he actually did talk to the rock. That's the tshuva accomplished that. The idea is based on this concept of ein muktam u'me'uchar ba'torah. What does it mean, ein muktam u'me'uchar ba'torah? There is no order in the Torah. In teva, in time, in this physical world of nature that Hashem created, bereishis bara Elokim, Elokim b'gematria ha'teva, as the Svarim tell us, there's a concept of time. And time is constantly moving. You can't stop it. You'd like to, but you can't. And you can't go back. There's no time machine in reality. You can't go back in time. Maybe one day they'll figure out how to do it, but there's no such thing. So once it passed, it's over. There's muktam and there's ma'uchar. Ochar v'kedem tsartani, the pasuk says in Tehillim. There's the past, and then there's the present, and there's the future, and it's constantly moving. Every minute, every second, it's just time takes us. There's the expression in English, don't kill time. the tzaddikim said, who came to America, and when they heard it, the expression in English, don't kill time, they said that it's true. If you don't utilize time properly, you killed it. You kill time. Time, even though it doesn't seem like time is a tangible thing, time is a creation too, don't kill it. So once you did something, it's past already, it happened already, it's not possible to go back. We all know that. But that's not true though. It's true al pi teva. But with tshuva, you do go back in time. And that's the idea of ein muktam u'me'uchar b'Torah. This says the Be'er Mayim Chaim, Reb Chaim Chernovetz says it in Parshas Hazinu, on the pasuk kidar tapuchos heim abonim lo emun bam. And he's not the only one who says this. It's brought down in a lot of chassidish svarim, the Erla Shemayim, and many svarim speak about this concept of ein muktam u'me'uchar b'Torah, means that when it comes to Torah, when it comes to mitzvahs, there's no order of time. You can go back in time. Yes, you can. There's no muktam u'me'uchar, even though it happened already. What do you mean? I did it already. How can I not do it? Or I didn't do it. How can I do it? It was supposed to be done yesterday. When you do tshuva, proper tshuva we're talking about, the way it's supposed to be. You go through the Rambam and Hilchas Tshuva like you should during this time. Person or Shari Tshuva or Igeres HaTshuva in the Balatah, whatever it is that a person learns and understands what tshuva is and really does tshuva, has Charata Al Ha'avar, Kabbalah Al Haba, Vidui Devarim, and as the Rambam says in such a way that Yoyed Olav Balatah Luma is Shalayoshuv L'Kis La'oy, that Hashem Himself testifies that this person is not going to sin again, does a proper tshuva. What does tshuva accomplish? Tshuva takes you back in time. In fact, we mentioned this in the Elul Shir, that tshuva was created before the world, kodma la'olam, as the Gemara says in Pesachim. It's not only a chassidish shavart, which is in itself emes, but it says it in the Gemara, tshuva kodma la'olam. Tshuva precedes the world. Why did tshuva have to precede the world? For that reason, because tshuva affects, tshuva accomplishes that what already happened did not happen. In other words, you can go back in time. It's an amazing thing. Only by a yid this is. There's no such thing. A guy cannot do tshuva. And if you're going to ask, what about Yonah with Nineveh? So the Bnei Yisoscha says, a guy could do tshuva mikanu lahaba. A guy could do tshuva too. He did something wrong. So from now on, he's going to be good. He's not going to do it again. Can a guy rectify the past? No, that a guy cannot do. That's only given to Klal Yisrael. Tshuva kadma la'ayla means tshuva preceded the world when there was no time. Before the world was created, there was no time, there was no past, future, present. And therefore, when a person does tshuva properly, as the Rechaim says, v'eschanan al Hashem, v'eishahi, that special time, which is not time. The pasuk in Zechariah, we're going to be reading that pasuk on Sukkis, where we talk about Mulchemes Goyg u'Magog, which Mulchemes Goyg u'Magog is supposed to take place in Chodesh Tishrei. On Sukkot, and there we read that there's going to be a day that is not day or night, a day that's not subjected to time. V'hoya yom echad hu yivada la Hashem lo yom v'lo yloila. It's a day that is not day or night. V'hoya la'es erev yihye or. So whatever that is, we'll have to wait and see what that means exactly. But there is a time where there's no time, and that's coming in the future, but it was already here before. And there is one day during the year where we experience it, and that's Yom HaKippurim. Yom Kippur is called Yom Echad. Interesting medrash, not everyone knows this. Right at the beginning of Bereshis. Bereshis is Aleph B'Tishrei, so that's Rosh Hashanah. Yom Kippur is there too. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is one unit. 10 days, Aseres Yom Tshuva is really one unit of time. In fact, the Navi Yecheskel refers to Yom Kippur as Rosh Hashanah. So it starts Rosh Hashanah, it ends Rosh Hashanah, it starts Rosh Hashanah, it ends Yom Kippur, these 10 days are hinted right at the beginning of creation. Hashem already created the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, the ability to be able to do tshuva and go back in time and rectify the past. Ein muktam u'me'uchar b'Torah. And that is, the Medrash says, Vayihi erev, vayihi voker, yom echad. First day of creation is called the one day. We all know, grammatically speaking, it should have said yom rishon. Rashi asks the question here at the beginning of Chumash. It should have said yom rishon. First, second, rishon, sheni, shlishi, revi. What do you mean echad rishon? Not Echad Rishon, it should be Echad Sheni, it should be Rishon Sheni. What's Echad? So Rashi says Hashem was alone, he was one because there were no Malachim yet. Says the Medrash, Yom Echad, Ze Yom HaKippurim. Medrash Rabbah, right at the beginning here of Bereshis. Vayihi Erev, Masehem Shel Rishoyim, the acts of the wicked are referred to as Erev, evening, night, darkness.
Vayivoker, morning, that's day, that's the act of the tzaddikim. Yom Echad, there's one day, referred to in Chumash as Achas Pashana, as we'll be learning this Shabbos, that on that day, Erev becomes Boker, because Maaseyam Shal Rishoyim is transformed into Maaseyam Shal Tzadikim, because we become Baalei Tshuva, similar to this pasuk over here, of the future day of Yom Echad, Lo Yom V'loy Loila. That means on Yom Kippur, we're not in the world of time, there's no time on Yom Kippur, that's why it's the only Yom Tif you wear a talus at night. Who wears a talus at night? You're not supposed to wear a talus at night. It's night time. There is no night on Yom Kippur. Day and night don't work. Somehow it doesn't work. On Yom Kippur, there's no night. It's like as if it's day. Yom Echad, therefore, at the beginning of Chumash, is a remez to Yom Kippur. And Rashi, in fact, says, where there were no malachim, on Yom Kippur, everyone reaches a level higher than malachim. That's why we're not afraid to say Baruch Shem loud, even though it's the Shira of the malachim, because we're like malachim, but we're higher than malachim. But just like on the Yom Echad, the one no malachim, Yom Kippur is referred to as the Yom Echad. Pasuk says, Hashem said to Aaron, after Nadav ben Avihu died, we're going to be laying at this Shabbos, Achrei Mos Shnei B'nei Aharon, don't make the same mistake, Ve'al Yavo Bechol Eis El HaKodesh. You cannot come anytime you want into the Holy of Holies, unless you go through the procedures that Pesukim talk about at the beginning of Achrei Mos. When is that time? Yom HaKippurim. So Yom HaKippurim says, all the Sfarim is called Chol Eis. Ve'al Yavo Bechol Eis, but on Yom HaKippurim, Kol Eis means all time. What does that mean? Yom Kippur is all time. A 24-hour period is referred to as Kol Eis. Pasuk says in Koheles, Bechol Eis Yihiyu Begadecha Levonim. At all times your clothes shall be white. So Chazal Darshan from this Pasuk, Shuv Yom Echad Lefnei Misoscha, that a person should do Shuv every single day. One never knows when he's going. This Pasuk is referring to Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, we all wear a white garment, even those who don't do it all year round, or Pesach by the Seder, but everyone wears a kittel, a white garment. The Torah discusses over and over again about the changing of the garments of the Kohen Gadol from gold to white and white to gold 5 times with washing the hands and the feet and going to the mikvah 5 times. There's a lot about wearing a garment, wearing garments, specifically white garments on Yom Kippur. What is it about the garment? The fact that Gemara says in Shabbos, Kuf Yutes Amar Aleph, based on a pasuk which we're going to be reading in the Haftorah this week, in Yeshaya Nun Zayin, the Karosol HaShabbos Oneg, L'kdosh Hashem mechubad v'chibadato me'asos t'roch echa. Says the Gemara, what's v'chibadato talking about? Karos ala Shabbos oneg means you should pleasure the Shabbos. This week it's Shabbos too. This is a special Yom Kippur. It's not only Yom Kippur, it's Shabbos. It's Shabbos Shabboson, so it's like a triple Shabbos. Shabbos is also a day of tshuva. Shabbos is the letters toshev. Bereishis, oisis, yorei Shabbos, yorei toshev, to do tshuva. Every Shabbos, certainly this Shabbos, Shabbos Shabboson. Then v'chibadato, you shall honor it. Says the Gemara there in Shabbos, Yom Kippur we honor b'ksus nikia, with a clean garment. But every Yom Tov you don't wear a clean garment. Every Yom Tov you have a nice suit or whatever you wear, Shabbos certainly. But only Yom Kippur do we find this expression of ksus nikia. That Rashi brings it down on the Mikra Kodesh by Yom Kippur. It can't be achilu ushtia because there's no eating and drinking, so it's ksus nikia utfila, ksus nikia. And the idea is, the Zohar says it in 2 places, at least the Bayechi, and then also in Chayesara, the Avram Zokein Bo Bayomim, Vayikrivu Yemei Yisrael Lamus, that every person comes to this world with his days. Days are a creation. Time is a creation. So a person comes to this world, let's say he's going to live 125 years. So every one of that, every day of those 125 years, every day is a creation. A person comes to the world with those days. Hopefully he goes back with those days. The problem is that most of us don't go back with all the days that we came with. Avram, Baba Yomim, came back with all his days. Vayikrivu Yemei Yisrael Lamus, all his days. Didn't waste one day. Every day utilized properly. When we do what we're supposed to every single day, says the Zohar, we create a garment for the neshama. That means the days are your garments. Well, a lot of garments. Hopefully, it won't be too hot there. But when we get back, when we go up there after 120 years, if we utilize those days properly, then we come with many, many garments in very good condition. If not, they're ripped and they're full of holes. If we didn't do what we were supposed to during those days. But everyone sins. There's no perfect person. Ain't sadik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov lo yechta. So which day of the year do we rectify every day of the year? So it's every time. It's kol eis. That's Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is kol eis.
because every single day of the year that we didn't utilize properly, we have an opportunity on Yom Kippur to rectify and to sew all the garments that were ripped or soiled because of the averis that we did, because that's the power of tshuva, that it can rectify even the past. So on Yom Kippur, there's a stress of ksus nikia, of a clean garment. And we refer to it as b'chol eis. B'chol eis yiyu b'gadecha levonim. B'al yava b'chol eis el hakodesh. Yom Kippur is a day that includes every single day. It's all of time. All the time that's given to a person that he can rectify comes with you on Yom Kippur. And it's a day that is associated with the creation, before the creation of the world, where there's no time. So you can do tshuva, which has the ability to rectify the past, because ein mukdam ma'ucher b'torah. Now it's interesting, there's a pasuk in Tehillim, in Kuf Lamed Tes, there it says, Gol mi ro'u einecha v'al sifrecha yikosevu yomim yutzoru v'lo echod bohem. All the Sfarim bring down this pasuk as a remez to Yom Kippur. Rashi on that pasuk in Tehillim says Yom Kippur. He doesn't go into the details though, but Rashi is saying what all the Sfarim are saying by Arichas, that a person comes to this world, yomim yutzoru, with all his days, v'lo echod bohem. The word v'lo is written with a vav, but it says it's read with an aleph. It's one of those Creek sifs, like lo anachnu amo, lo with a vav, lo with an aleph. V'lo echod bohem means there's one day that's not a day. Yomim yutzoru, but v'lo echod bohem. There's a day that's not a day. What do you mean there's a day that's not a day? What day is not a day? That's Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is not a day. It's not a regular day. It's 24 hours. It seems like it's a 24-hour period, but it's not really a regular day. Because, as we mentioned, we wear a talis at night. It's b'chol eis. It's a day that we do tshuva. Kra'uhu b'yoso karov. And therefore, we can connect to Hashem and rectify even that which already happened, that it's like as if it never happened. And even the mitzvahs that we couldn't do, we now did. If a person remembers which mitzvahs he was mefatel, it's an amazing thing, according to this Divrei Chaim. The person could actually remember which mitzvahs did I not do. Averis, usually we know which averis we did. Which mitzvahs did I not do? And if you do a proper tshuva, it could be considered as if you actually did those mitzvahs. That's the power of tshuva. You go back in time. Ein mukdam ma'ucha b'torah. So now this is very good. Why the Yalka tells us on this pasuk here, right after Shein, the Eila told us Hashemayim v'haaretz behi baram behei baram, that the world was created with the letter hey. What's the letter hey? The letter associate that teaches us that tshuva helps. That's why it's what a hey. There's an opening. You can come back. That pasuk, which tells us for the first time, at least openly here, that this tshuva should have been the first pasuk, and it's not, because ein mukdam ma'uchar. Yeah, ein mukdam ma'uchar is the concept of tshuva. That's right. It's written out of order, because tshuva is out of order. In the order of things, tshuva cannot help. Time already passed. There's no way to rectify. Tshuva has the power to rectify the past, because it's like as if you go back in time. Ein mukdam ma'uchar. But Rashi's telling it to us already at the beginning of Bereishis. Rashi's telling it to us that it had to be that there's no water here at the beginning of Bereishis, because the water was created before everything. Now, what's water? Well, we all know what water is. But what's water? Al pi pnimius, simetrish at the beginning of Bereishis Rabba also. V'ruach Elohim zeruchai yishal melech ha-mashiach. Mirachefes al penei hamoyim ein mayim ela tshuva shenema shivchi kamayim libech. Oh, water is tshuva. Ein mayim ela tshuva. So that makes sense. Water was created before everything. Tshuva came before the world. Tshuva came at the beginning. Tshuva is all the way at the beginning. And here's what Rashi is saying: ein mukdam u'mu'ucha. There's no order of things over here. You see, there's no order because of the water. From the water, we learn that there's no order. From tshuva, the fact that tshuva helps is because there's no order. So what happens as we get into the month of Tishrei? For 30 days prior, we've been doing tshuva. Hopefully, if we utilize the month of Elul properly, we've been doing tshuva already. And not Elul. That's what Elul is. Anila dodi v'dodi li, and everything that we mentioned last time. What Elul is all about. So now what? Now we're doing tshuva again? We're tshuva for the tshuva that we did? What exactly is happening? And many talk about it, that in order to do tshuva, you have to do tshuva. Like before you do any mitzvah, it says you're supposed to do tshuva first. Because b'larosha amar alakim alach alasaper chukah, a person doesn't do tshuva and he learns and does mitzvahs, those Torah and mitzvahs can go to the wrong side. So we have to do tshuva before we do any mitzvah. Certainly before we do tshuva, we have to do tshuva. The tshuva in Elul, as most svarim say, is a lower level of tshuva. Tshuva tato'a. The tshuva in Tishrei is tshuva ilo'a. It's a higher level of tshuva where we come to the highest of all, which is tshuva me'ahav on Sukkot, where the averis become mitzvahs. But it's also not just doing tshuva for averis; it's coming closer to Hashem. After Elul is over, after we did the tshuva, then no more averis,
Now we do a tshuva, which where tshuva means return. Now we're returning to Hashem. We're coming back to the beginning again. The beginning, the shoresh, where it all started. The reishis, the shoresh. That's the concept of yovel. Yovel is when everything goes back to the way it was. Yom Kippur is the day when they blew shofar in a yovel year, because all slaves are emancipated, all fields return back to their owners. Rosh Hashanah yotze Yosef mi beis ha'asurim. Rosh Hashanah, says the Gemara, in Rosh Hashanah is the day that Yosef went out of jail. We're no longer incarcerated. We're no longer slaves to our inclination, to our desires. A person thinks that he can do whatever he wants, he's free. That's not true. A person who thinks, who does whatever he wants, is not free. He's meshubad to his taivas. He's meshubad to his yetzer. When a person does tshuva properly and he's totally free, cheirus, that's the shofar. The shofar has the ability to free us. That's Yovel. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, Nun Aleph, where David HaMelech talks about his personal tshuva for the chet of Bas Sheva, Bevoi Nosen El David El Bas Sheva, Herev Kabeseini Me'avoini U'mechatosi Tahareini. The word Herev is written Herev, but there's a hey right afterwards, which is a silent hey. It's interesting too, you find that in Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha V'Nashuva, at the end of Eicha, there's also a hey there, but it's a silent hey. It's like it's there, but it's not, it's written. It's like another creek sieve. It's there, but you don't see it. Here also Herev, there's a hey, but it's like as if it says Harbei, the Harbei Mofidus. So when you take the whole phrase, Herev Kapiseini Me'avoni Me'chatosi Tahareini, it's equal to 1273, but with the hey, with the silent hey, is 1278. That whole phrase, Herev Kapiseini Me'avoni Me'chatosi Tahareini, which is talking about tshuva, cleanse me, David HaMelech says, from my sins. Wash me out. That's equal exactly to Rosh Hashanah Yom HaKippurim. Yom HaKippurim without a Yud. You know, it's Kippurim like it's written in Chumash, without a Yud. So Rosh Hashanah Yom HaKippurim, these two, this Aseres Yimei Tshuva, is Herev Kabeseini Me'avoni Me'chatosi Tahareini, and the Hey is because during this time we cleanse all the five levels of the Neshama. All the five levels. Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, Yechida, and Kiyadua, Yom Kippur. We go to the Yom Kippur, there are five tefillos. Every tefillah corresponds to one of the chelik of the nefesh. Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol immersed himself in the mikveh five times. Yom Kippur is when he changed from Big Day Zohar to Big Day Lavan five times. And interesting here, when the Torah talks to us about Yosef HaTzadik's portion, it says the word Meged five times. Meged, sweet. As we enter the month of Tishrei, we dip the challah in the honey, we dip the apple in the honey. You don't only sing it, but we do it. And we got, many have a custom not to eat sharp or bitter foods. Whatever the minhag is. We enter a month of mesikus. All the simonim have to do with sweetness, that we want, that we should have a sweet year. From all the portions of land, Yosef's portion is the sweetest. Yosef's portion is the most blessed. And the same is with Tishrei. Tishrei, everyone agrees, you don't have to go too far to see that there's no month that has as many yomim tovim as Tishrei. In fact, Chodesh HaShevi, the Medrash says, Baal Shem Tov talks about it, but it's really a Medrash. Shvi is like as if it says Sivi with a sin. V'achalta v'sovata, a satiated month. Yerach ha'esonim, a month that is so powerful. There are so many mitzvahs that are performed in this month. This month is mevoreches, like Yosef's portion is more mevorech, nizir echov, than any other. Today's portion of Chumash, v'zos ha'bracha. The pashkocha pratis, the shir is being given today. Because Dave, you had that in mind. That the bracha to Yosef, who Ephraim is Tishrei, and that his land is more blessed than any other, Tishrei is more blessed than any other month. There's more in it, there's more sweetness in Tishrei than there is in any other month. Tishrei has a number of meanings. Tishrei means either, from the word in Kol Nidre, which we'll be saying soon. We say, when we talk about all the vows, Kulhon, Yehon, Sharon, right? The cantor says that over, Kulhon, Yehon, Sharon, whatever you have in your shul, everyone says it, together with the chazan, three times. What does Sharon mean? Sharei, in the Gemara, Shari means it's mutter, it's permissible. Released, it's released from bondage. Tishrei, we become released, we are released from sin. We're no longer incarcerated, we're no longer bound to the Yetzer. Especially on Yom Kippur, when the Satan cannot be mekatreg, the Satan cannot prosecute. That's the one day of the year, Hasatan the Gematria 364, because the one day, the 365th day, which is Yom HaKippurim, there's no Satan, there's no prosecution. We can sin on Yom Kippur. A person could die on Yom Kippur. There is a Malach HaMavis, there is the Yetzirah. No one says there's no Yetzirah. But Satan, Kitshrug, there isn't. That's why we're not afraid to say Al Chait all day. And we're not worried that he's going to use it against us. Rosh Hashanah, we do not. Rosh Hashanah, Bakesa, Liyom Chageinu, we don't mention sin even once. Not even Avinu Malkeinu, Chatanu, Lefanecha, and the Avinu Malkeinu. The minute is not to say, but on Yom Kippur, Kol HaKavod. You know, every sin you could think of, you mention. No problem. Satan can't do anything anyway. He cannot be Mekatrek. So Tishrei, released. Kulon Yohon Sharon. Everyone's potter. Everyone is released. Everything is mutter. Not mutter, meaning that you can do whatever you want. It means we are released from bondage. Yosef goes out of prison on Rosh Hashanah. Botla avod me'avoseinu in Tishrei. Then there's another meaning of Tishrei. Real, if you look in Chumash, Shiva Shavuos Tisparloch Mehochel Chermesh Bakama Tochel, you shall begin. Unkelus translates Tochel as Tishrei. Tishrei means you shall begin. This is where we begin. We start here. We're starting over again. We start fresh. It's a new time. It's a new year. And as mentioned before, everything is absolved. We went back in time. It's like as if the world's being created again now. It's like year one. The year that's coming, this year right now, Tavshin Ayin Dalid, number one, is the sixth year in the Shemitah cycle. The Gemara says, Beshishis Koilus, that in the sixth year, there's going to be a lot of noise. Maybe it's already the noise that we're hearing in the world. Very confusing, certainly. One day to the next, you don't know what's going to happen. 1 hour to the next, you don't know what's going to happen. And you think you do know, then you don't know. Whatever's going on up there in Shemayim, whatever's going on down here is just a reflection of what's going on up there. As the Medrash says, in Ra'isa Malchios Mizgarai Zu Bezu, you see nations, empires, saber rattling. What do you think? It's because Obama won, Putin. It's because of what's going on up there in Shemayim. There's obviously something going on in Shemayim. Something about Damesek. Where's Damesek? Damesek is discussed in Zechariah in the Nevuah of Mashiach, where it says, Masa Devar Hashem Be'eretz Chadroch. The Damesek Minuchosai. I don't claim to know what's going on at all, but a person has a right to look into the Torah, to look into Navi. Rabbi Huda Rabbi Loi Darshan Zem Moshiach, he's called Chadrach. Shehu Chad La Umais, he's going to be sharp to the nations and soft to Klal Yisrael. Says Rabbi Yossi ben Damascus, who said so, I come from Damesek. He said, I come from Damascus, from Syria. And there is a place in Damascus that's called Chadrach. What does that mean? His resting place is in Damesek? The Shechina is in Damesek? Since when? Says Rashi, and we're going to say this on Hoshana Rabbah, Simi ad Damesek Mishkanoi Sayach. Every Hoshana Rabbah we say it. If anyone pays attention, by that time, we're still having Kavana. Simi ad Damesek. Rashi brings it in Shir HaShirim also, that Yerushalayim will reach Damesek. Mikdash is the same letters as Damesek, right? Sha'asida Yerushalayim lios maga'as ad Damesek. Ve'ein menuchaso el Yerushalayim. Oh, Chazal tell us a lot about Damesek. You know, you hear about Damesek now. Damascus, weapons of mass destruction, chemical weapons. Yeah, Damesek is reserved. That's that area. Many, many tzaddikim came from Damesek. A lot of Torah was learned in Damesek over the years. The Shechina was once there in a revealed state. But the Shechina will be there very, very shortly. Because Yerushalayim is going to reach Tol Damesek. The words V'damesek minuchosoi is begamatria ubein kseifov shochein, which is the pasuk in this week's parasha referring to Hashras Hashchina in the Beis HaMikdash. Another meaning of Tishrei. Tishrei from the word Hashra, Hashras Hashchina. We don't know what's going on. No one knows. There's no Navi today about Ruach HaKodesh of the old caliber that can tell us. But you don't have to be a Navi and a Baal Ruach HaKodesh to know that something is going on. That's clear. Any person that believes in Hashgacha Pratis, which we all do, and looks into Chazal, looks into Pesukim in Tanakh, whatever the outcome, doesn't, we don't know what we're... No one knows. Certainly I cannot claim to know. But something is going on. And it's the beginning of a year when we said, V'yal HaMedino Yisboye Omer. Decisions are being made now. Decisions about countries, capitals, these decisions are being made in Shemayim at this time of year, between Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaKippurim.
Shuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha. Ad. Ayin Dalet. V'shafta ad Hashem Elokecha. Or as it says in Sefania, Chaki lo ad. The word ad doesn't only mean until. That's the literal meaning of ad. But it also means forever. Bitchu b'Hashem, the pasuk we began this talk with. Bitchu b'Hashem adei ad. Ki b'ko Hashem tzuro elamim. There's the world of ad. Lo ad ula olam elamim. We wish a young couple that they should build a binyan adei ad. The world of Mashiach, the world of the future, the messianic age, is the world of ad. Tov shen ayin dalet, the heishnas ad. It should be the year that we enter into the world of ad, into the world of eternity. V'shafto Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha. When you return Klal Yisrael, then it'll be eternal. Hashem is Elokecha forever and ever. This is also a Shana Me'uberes. This is also, this year is a leap year. Leap year is a, as far as it's a longer year, there's another Adar, the two Purims, Purim Katan, Purim Gadol, another month to do tshuva, as the Shalom Belzer is known, said, Ki lule hismamonu, ki ato shavnu ze pa'amoyim, that if we delay, lule is oisius elul, chas v'shalom, we didn't do tshuva in elul, so you have ze pa'amayim, you have two times ze, ze is equal to 12, the 12th month, which is Adar, you have twice, you have two Adars, it's a month of hashlama, it's a month of, it's a year of hashlama, it's a year of tikkun, hashanah me'uberes, when the shnas hacham and the shnas halavana join together. So Rosh Hashanah Yom HaKippurim equal to Herev Kabaseini Me'avoni Me'chatosi Tahareidi. That's Yom Kippur without a Yud. What about Yom Kippur with a Yud? As written many places. Rosh Hashanah Yom HaKippurim with the Yud is equal to Yitoka V'shoifer Godoil Uba'u Ha'oivdim. Pasuk says, V'hoya Ba'yim Ahu Yitoka V'shoifer Godoil Uba'u Ha'oivdim, which is referring to the Tkiyas Shoifer of La'asid Lavoi. When all the Oivdim and the Nidachim, all the lost and the scattered and the dispersed, return. This is a time when everyone is returning, everyone's coming back. What better time for Geula than right now, when Klal Yisrael are doing tshuva? According to Rabbi Yehoshua, the Geula will be in Tishrei. And the Gemara, that's why we landed on Sukkot, Milchemes, Gog u'Magog, and no one knows exactly how it's going to happen, but it's in that area of the world where it's going to take place. Milchemes, Gog u'Magog is going to be on Sukkot, as mentioned before. The sukkah is where one is protected from all the evils and the pachad of Milchemes Gog u'Magog. Even though one might laugh at that. The sukkah, what are you surrounded with? What's the wall? What's the schach? What's it made out of? It's not supposed to be kavua. But that's where a yid is protected, in the sukkah. Right after Yom Kippur, we go into the sukkah. The sukkah has the same level as Yerushalayim. The sukkah is like Eretz Yisrael. The sukkah is like the Beis Hamikdash. Vayihi b'sholem sukkah, as the pasuk says in Tehillim. It's interesting. There's a Zohar in Emor that says that a goy is not allowed in a sukkah. Zohar says in the Parashas Emor, why should a goy not be allowed in a sukkah? So again, it was Reb Sholem Belzer that his grandson, Yisachar Doiv, quotes, and he said Torah a whole year on this, that when you enter the sukkah, you are entering Eretz Yisrael. You go into your backyard, or wherever your sukkah is, you go from Lawrence, or from the Five Towns, from Bayswater, wherever you live, you go into Eretz Yisrael. So, a guy can't live in Eretz Yisrael. A guy's allowed even in the Beis HaMikdash, or certain parts where a guy can go up until the Soireg, a guy is allowed to go. So what does the Zohar mean that a guy is not supposed to enter Eretz Yisrael? There's a Sefer, Bris Avram, that he brings there from another Sefer, Matas Hashem, and Parshas Vayetze, he brings there, Hashem said to Avram Avinu, "Ki kol ha'aretz asher ata roi'eh lecha etenena ulezarecha." The land that you see is going to be yours, and I'm giving it to your children. And he asks, "What does it mean that you see? Everyone sees. What is it, asher ata roi'eh?" So he talks there about that. There's Eretz Yisrael of today, and there's Eretz Yisrael of the future. There's Eretz Yisrael, the land of the seven nations, where goyim live and inhabit and conquer, and then there's the Eretz Yisrael that's going to spread out. I see the Eretz Yisrael shetispashet b'chol ha'aretzos. Like the Gemara actually says, like a tzvi. That hispashtus, a goy has no chelik. A goy cannot enter the part of Eretz Yisrael of the future. Today's Eretz Yisrael, yes. I mean, the goyim lived there. It's Eretz Shiva Umais. The Eretz Yisrael that the Belzer, and not only him, but it's mentioned many svarim, the Tzemach Dov from the Dinev and others from say the same thing. The Reb Shlomo Kluger writes it in his Sefer too. That sukkah, in a sukkah, you enter into Eretz Yisrael. We're talking about the Eretz Yisrael of the future, the Hispashtus of Eretz Yisrael. by Yaakov Avinu, it says, Ufaratzta Yamava Kedmava Tzafayna Veneg, but not only in the Eretz Yisrael itself, but all over the world, every part of the world can have Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. Dafka Yaakov Avinu was given that bracha, and we know that Sukkos is Keneged Yaakov, which means when you go into your Sukkah, you are in a protected abode. You enter Yerushalayim, you enter Eretz Yisrael, you enter Yerushalayim, you enter the Beis HaMikdash, and that's where you have protection from Mochemes Goy Gumogid. So the first time the Torah ever talks to us about Sukkos is in Parashas Mishpatim. And the Torah uses this phrase, V'chag ha'osif b'tseis hashana. The holiday of gathering at the end of the year, that's Sukkos. V'chag ha'osif b'tseis hashana. These four words, V'chag ha'osif b'tseis hashana, are exactly Bigamatria, Chibas Yerushalayim. Right, Chibas Yerushalayim, we say that in the Zachor, in the Zachors of Slichas, Zachor Hashem, Chibas Yerushalayim, Ahavas, Al Tishkach Lonetzach, V'chaga Osif B'tzeis Hashanah, B'gematria Chibas Yerushalayim. There's a pasuk in Tehillim when it talks about protection from our enemies. V'yoshiyem miyad soinei, v'yigoleim miyad oyev. Who's the soinei? Who's the oyev? Tell us the svarim. The soinei is Esav. The Oyev is Yishmael. When do they get together? By Melchemes Goy Gumogoy. The Chag HaOsif B'tzeis Hashanah is B'gematria V'yoshiyei Miyad Soinei V'yigolei Miyad Oyev. Yes, Melchemes Goy Gumogoy is supposed to happen on Sukkos. How, what, where, no one knows exactly. In your Sukkah, that's the best place to be. And the Sukkah doesn't have to be in Yerushalayim. The Sukkah could be in Bayswater, in Farak, wherever it is. Because when you enter your Sukkah, you're in Eretz Yisrael anyway. And you're in the Eretz Yisrael of the future, where a Goy cannot go. So the effects, the ill effects of whatever warfare we're talking about, Melchemes Goy Gumogoy, does not take place in the Sukkah. In the Sukkah, one does not have to worry about that. It's all in this month, this jam-packed month, the Chodesh HaShivi'i, the Yerach HaEsanim, the month of Ephraim, which Ephraim comes from the words Hifrani Elikim Ve'eretz Onyi, fruitful, multiply. Why was Ephraim Zocher that his month should be Tishrei? Reuven really should have Tishrei. But we know that Yaakov took away the Bechorah from Reuven, gave it to Yosef, and then he told Yosef that it's not Menashe who's going to have it, it's Ephraim. That means what was taken away from Esav, which was supposed to be to Reuven, was given to Yosef, but given to Ephraim. And that's Tishrei, the month of Tshuva. We said on Rosh Hashanah, this will end, Habein Yakir Li Ephraim, Im Yelet Shashuim. The Navi over there in Yirmiyah, which is the second day of the Haftarah of Rosh Hashanah, talks about the praise of Ephraim over and over again, how great Ephraim is. All the Mefarshim ask, what's so great about Ephraim? He was, if anyone, all the sinners came from Ephraim. That's Yeravim ben Nevat. Yaseres HaShvatim is all referred to throughout the Navi as Ephraim. And yet with Habein Yakirli Ephraim, oh my beloved Ephraim, why? What did Ephraim do? Yes, Yehoshua Benun comes from Ephraim, true. But this is after that. Yeravam ben Nevat comes from Ephraim. The whole split came about because of Yeravam, who's from Ephraim. That's the power of Tshuva. Hmm. Ephraim is the month of Tishrei, that's right. Habein Yakir Li Ephraim, Im Yelet Sha'ashua. No matter what a person did, a person could be an Oyvei Avoy Dezora, a Chayte, Umachtias of Rabbim. And did the worst averus in the world. Ad kedei kach, but it says the tshuva will not help. Shuvu barim shavavim chutz me'acher. Does that mean that Acher can't do tshuva? No, he could. Isaac says chutz me'acher. We're testing him. The Svarim said that it was a test to see if he'll try to get in. Menashe did. Menashe tried, even though he was a chaytim achdeus rabbim. The power of tshuva, as mentioned before, is that it takes you back in time before the chayt happened. So that could be that's for anyone. As long as you do tshuva properly, there's a tremendous chizuk, this concept of ein muktam amurcha b'torah to all of us, no matter where one is holding, it doesn't matter where. And everyone has their lows. There's no perfect individual. Ein tzadik bar tzashi yaseh tov v'leyechtam. As soon as you do tshuva, you're a different human being, as the Rambam writes. It's not the same person. It's not me. I'm not who I was before. It's a totally different creation. Bihi baram, behei bara'am, ein muktam amurcha. It's not the... We're back. It didn't happen, or whatever happened, whatever didn't happen, could happen, whatever happened, didn't happen. That's the power of Tshuva. That's the Chodesh of Tishrei, this tremendous month of this special Yom Tov that we have here, which is called the Chasana. Se'enu re'ena b'nois tziyoin ba'melach shloimei bo'atara she'itiru lo'imei b'yoim chasunosei. The last Mishnah in Tainus says Lo hayu yamim tovim li Yisrael. One of it is Tu B'Av ukiyom hakipurim, the day that we were given the second luchos, again the second chance after the egel. Could we do tshuva after the egel? Forget it. After an egel, yes, we got a second time. Luchos shliyos, luchos achrayim is on yom hakipurim. That already right away told us that no matter what was done. Okay, this doesn't mean to say a person should say, well, I could do whatever I want, and I'll do tshuva later on. There's a concept of ein maspikin, the other last of tshuva too. Ha'om echta va'oshuv. A person shouldn't rely on tshuva. Tshuva will help no matter what, but a person shouldn't rely on, okay, I'll do this now. Okay, I know you're not allowed to do it, but tshuva is so great. So, you know, I'll do that very now, I'll do tshuva tomorrow. Not everyone gets the opportunity to do tshuva. So that's not what we're talking about over here. When we say that everyone has a tikkun and tshuva helps for everyone, if he really wants to do it, and he means it. So the feeling of yiyush, which is all from the Yetzer Hara, yiyush shalom idas, that doesn't mean me, because I can't, because I have so many averis, and I did so many terrible things, or I didn't do all the so for sure it's not me, that's asatz hayetzer. Because tshuva helps for everyone, and anyone, and in any situation, no matter where you are, and that's this great Yom Tov of Yom HaKippurim, the Yom Chasunasai is B'gematria Be'osra L'Chodesh, which is the 10th of the month, the day that we reach the pinnacle, the high point of the Aseres Yimei Tshuva, which is Bereishis, the first of the Asarim Amorais, Bereishis, Aleph B'Tishrei, Yorei Boishes, Bereishis is Oisius, Yorei Boishes, Yira Busha, which is what's required when a person does Tshuva. The first word of Chumash already has in it, it's Koil, as we know, the Vilna Gaon writes, the Agra, the Kala, that every mitzvah, every Aveir is hinted in the word Bereishis, the entire Torah is hinted in the word Bereishis, the entire Klal Yisrael are hinted in the word Bereishis, which all of Klal Yisrael are included in the four minim of the Lulav, the Esrig, the Lulav, the Hadas, and the Arava. That's every type of Jew possible. So those four words, Esrig, Lulav, Hadas, Arava, is equal to 1024, which is equal to Beis Rabosi. The Beis Rabosi of Bereishis. The first letter of Bereishis is a Beis Rabosi. Says the Agra Dekala, Beis Rabosi, Begematria, Esrig, Lulav, Hadas, Arava. Every possible Jew is there at the beginning of creation. The Reishis of the Bria, we all come there this week. We get there this Shabbos, Yom HaKippurim, and right afterwards we have the great Yom Tov of Sukkos, where we go into our own Beis HaMikdash, into our own portion of Eretz Yisrael, and we should all be Zeicher to do a Tshuva Shalema, and to be Zeicher to hear, to watch the Kohen Gadol do the Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, Hashlishi, and to be Zeicher to the third Beis HaMikdash, Vayhi B'Shalem Sukkai, and of course whatever ill effects, Mulchemes Gog U'Magog, that the Nevi'im talk about, many tzaddikim said that we have the power, Tishrei, we can annul, Tishrei means to annul, we can annul and weaken all the terrible pchadim of Melchemes Gog U'Magog. We have the power to do it, that it could be only Bedibur, it won't have to be Chas V'Sholem, L'maisa, we should be Zeicher to enter Eretz Yisrael B'chesed U'V'rachamim, and to the revelation of Mashiach Tzidkenu, and this year, Tav Shanayin Dalet, we should all be Zeicher to be here, B'Shleimus.
Amen.